This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.
Studio Lounge interviews sponsored by CUNA Mutual Group, Pulsate, PSCU, Pure IT Credit Union Services, and Janusy.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CUNA Lending Council Conference here in lovely San Diego, California. And look who is in the studio lounge, a longtime friend of the show, Dr. Joseph Breeden from Deep Future Analytics. Joseph, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
Good, thank you. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, and you brought your tea with you as well.
It's so cold, I need something to keep me warm.
I know,
it is. I keep drinking cup after cup.
It's a good move. It is freezing in here. I'm going to go downstairs to the gift shop and buy a jacket, I think. So anyway, I digress. So what brings you to the CUNA Lending Council Conference? Because I have here, it looks like you're going to be speaking a little bit later today.
They asked if I could come talk about economic conditions, how that affects borrowers, consumers, members.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, I said that's a great topic, but it also leads to this, this, and this. So I kind of expanded the mandate a little bit. But we've got an hour. We can cover it.
Okay, good, good. Well, we got about 10 minutes or so here. We can cover, we can get a quick taste of what you're going to be talking about. So your talk is going to be talking about impacts of inflation and credit quality. But the subtitle here that you wanted to address as well was adverse selection.
Mm-hmm.
So in which order do you want to go? Do you want to start with adverse selection and then dive into your...
I'll start with, you know, they said, you know, current conditions, high inflation.
Right? Oh, yes, that so, we are in.
And, you know, we could talk about what caused that, you know, supply chain problems with the pandemic and then war in Ukraine and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so Federal Reserve says, I got to do something about that. So they're going to raise rates. They have been raising rates. They will continue to do at least a bit more. Market expects it to get above 5% within 6 months.
Okay.
Those market projections. But that keeps shifting up every month. So we'll see. Obviously, inflation impacts borrowers, and that has implications through to delinquency, default, collections, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this chain of events that happen. So high inflation caused the Fed to take action and raise rates. Rising rates causes other things, and that's where the adverse selection comes
in. Okay, okay.
Because we've seen this before. Back in 2006, 7, and 8, the kind of collective memory is subprime mortgage did badly because those awful lenders booked a whole bunch of bad loans, right? Well, in around 2012, we did a research project with the Philadelphia Fed, looked at everything the lenders could have known,
mm-hmm.
how much of that was their fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you measure credit quality, so you've got a period of really bad credit quality in 06, 07, 08,
mm-hmm.
about half of that is explainable from what they should have known. They did it to themselves.
Yeah.
The other half, no. So when we talk about the mortgage crisis and all of that, and of course, house prices and everything else, but if you really just come back to who did you give loans to, half the problem was not the fault of the lenders, it was that the borrowers were not the same.
Hmm.
And it's easy to understand. When rates are rising really fast, or the thing you want to buy is rising,
yes,
you know,
hence
home, car,
housing price, yes, everything actually, yes.
Right? So, you know, it comes back to this basic question. Why would you want to buy that now? Could you not wait? You know, when you have to bid above sticker to get a car last year,
right?
Well, why not wait?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are two answers for that. First is a lot of people, the value shoppers, will say, I'll wait. And you can, my best example of what is a value shopper is we analyzed data from people who are doing auto lending in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And the credit quality had seasonality. If you looked at the month of origination,
interesting. Okay.
Their best loans always came in December.
All right.
Well, think about it. The guy who's willing to stand on a frozen car lot in Minnesota and
okay,
argue over price because he knows he's going to get the end of the year discount,
right?
That is not the same guy as the one who pulls over in June because the cars are shiny, the balloons are flying, and the sun is out.
Yep.
One is a value shopper, the other is an impulse buyer, is how I think of it. And so when rates are rising as fast as they, well, they haven't risen this fast before, but when rates are rising fast,
mm-hmm.
you lose the value shoppers. You're left with the impulse buyers. Mm-hmm. Impulse buyers are always there. Mm-hmm. That's not new. It's just that normally our models are built on this distribution mm-hmm. of all these different personality types. Mm-hmm. And when one of those personalities goes away, the one that is most likely to pay,
exactly,
we're left with the riskier ones.
Okay.
Right. And so we started sounding alarms last year saying, hey, if this happens, you got to watch out. Well, we've been hearing, and there are lots of stories out there already of people scrambling mm-hmm. because quality is not what it was. Mm-hmm. We've seen the ABA wrote an article that said, gee, mortgage delinquency is rising fast. And see the same in auto and personal loan. And you can talk about a lot of things, but it does come back to who would want to buy now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how I define adverse selection.
I like that. I like it. It's completely logical.
Yeah, it's what the model cannot know.
Mm-hmm.
I always get asked, okay, well, who are these people? Mm-hmm. Let's not lend to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a personality type. There's nothing in the bureau that distinguishes personality types. I can have these two different personality types both applying for a loan, mm-hmm. and they could have the same score. They could be prime or subprime. That doesn't matter. One could be lucky and the other could be unlucky and wind up with the same score.
Right.
So we can't know who, unless you're going to look at magazine subscriptions and try to figure out that, oh, their brother is a CFO or something.
Right.
Who knows? No, you can't really know who, but you can quantify how much. And so the point of this talk, I'll be co-presenting with Joe Beffer, and I'll give some of this background, and then he's going to talk about, so what should a credit union do in response? And it's going to be talking
about... That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking at your underwriting. Mm-hmm. What are your mm-hmm. policies?
Mm-hmm.
Are your policies being followed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you done some spot checking mm-hmm. on reported income mm-hmm. and things like that? There are a lot of things you can do. You may not be able to raise price to accommodate the extra credit risk, because raising price is part of the problem.
Exactly.
Right? But you may want to cut volume. In fact, we're naturally cutting back on volume because deposits are down. Loan-to-share ratios mm-hmm. have to be managed.
My, how things change within a year or two.
Yeah. So, but it does come back to being really aggressive on your underwriting policies, your criteria. Tighten up, but tighten up doesn't mean cut off lending. It means get really segmented.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the borrowers mm-hmm. in each segment? Mm-hmm. What are their prospects? And then if you fold in risk of recession next year. There are some groups like Bloomberg now says 100% chance of recession next year. Well, if your members are somewhat insensitive to recession, teachers, government employees, etc., that's maybe not so bad.
Okay.
So you got to take all this into account.
Sure, sure. So that leads me to my next thought, and there's been a lot of talk about upending the traditional scoring models. Because it doesn't tell the whole story. And we learned this during the pandemic. I mean, you kind of had to throw that traditional stuff out the window because of what was going on. So is that another part of the equation? Is that, you know, maybe we shouldn't rely so much on this traditional model now and bring, like, I mean, you even brought it up, bring in some other aspects to mm-hmm. qualify this person and keep that risk to a minimum, if you will. So what's your take on that?
I think it's model and. Because it's not that models don't discriminate risk. It's that the borrowing pool shifts, so you need to study beyond the model. And you know, I'm a modeling guy, right? So in my world, we'd say model monitoring. You need basic credit risk management.
Mm-hmm,
And, you know, we hear a lot about AI. My thesis work, I won't tell you how many years ago, was in stuff we call machine learning these days. So it's not like I'm against machine learning, but I will say you can't run a company on just machine learning. You need good credit risk management to go with that.
Yeah.
And so that means for each new origination pool, each new campaign, early monitoring of the credit quality.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
mm-hmm.
agreeing with my model?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, if it's because of the things I mentioned,
right.
Well, then that's an adjustment to your expectations. You can say model plus this much additional risk in this environment.
Yeah.
Make sure I tell collections, make sure I tell origination. So it's the, you know, most scoring models are ranking risk. They don't tell you absolute risk. This is an adjustment to the
mm-hmm.
absolute risk.
Mm-hmm. Does the average loan officer, if you will, realized this, or is this kind of outlier type information right now? Because I would think, based on what we've been through the last couple of years, and then what we're still, or what we're experiencing now, and what we're gonna experience next year, I would think this would be top of mind for everybody in that area.
I think, many concepts take time to make it through the industry. I could give you examples in my world of modeling how many decades it takes for things to be widely known. I would say that before 2006, if I brought up adverse selection, somebody would say, oh, you mean if I am priced above market and my competitor across the street is at market, the good loans go to him, I'm left with the ones he rejects, I'm adversely selected. So I think of that as a microeconomic adverse selection. When we did the work with the Philly Fed, we had to invent a term. I would say that it was not noticed before that the borrower pool changed this way. And so we call it macroeconomic adverse selection.
Okay.
Since we invented that term back around 2010, I would say it's not fully through the industry yet.
Okay.
But if I say to somebody in our industry, look, if rates are rising fast, who do you think wants to borrow? It's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes you just need a name for a thing.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
To really become a concept. Mm-hmm. And so I've read some articles recently talking about poor quality in mortgage, and they ask somebody who's supposed to be a thought leader why, and it's like, well, inflation, what? It's like, no, there's a simple answer, wrong borrowers. So I'd say, no, it's not known enough yet. And also, in the last recession, sometimes the response to things look bad was just shut off. We saw some big name lenders have poor subprime auto performance and just cut it off. Or they close their subprime mortgage. That makes the finance companies really happy because they know you can make money there even in the worst of times if you're really hardworking, if you know the market, et cetera. So that's where we are. This is a market that rewards the hardworking.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah, I did an interview like a month or so ago, and it wasn't related to this, but it was this group did a study over the last 10 years, over the last decade, and they found stuff they never would have found before if they didn't go that far back. So I totally get what you're saying, that it takes time for stuff to catch on, but I think you make some of this stuff top of mind just to, like you said, some of it's kind of a no-brainer type stuff, so
Well, and I brought up the machine learning thing, but I'm not sure if I finished a thought there. My point was that any model has to be monitored. No model captures these kinds of shifts. So, it's not a, you can't adopt AI or machine learning and solve this problem, nor should you throw any model away because of this problem. It's something that has to be quantified separately and managed.
Indeed. Well, interesting times we are living in, sir. Gosh, such interesting stuff always. So I appreciate you coming by and sharing more of your expertise with us. So appreciate it as always. And good luck this afternoon in your talk. I'm hoping to be in there as well to listen up and take some copious notes and all that good stuff. So
Studio Lounge interviews sponsored by CUNA Mutual Group, Pulsate, PSCU, Pure IT Crediting Services, and Genusee.
This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.